Good morning. Talmud Torah, closing out for Shvat, is Ed and Faith Wolf in memory of her mother, Nessa Bas Velvel Zal, and Bracha Strimmer member in memory of her husband, Avram and Kalman Eliezer Halevi Zal. We also have, the Talmud Torah sponsor of next month is the Lerner family in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber Zal, and in the merit of an Elias Neshama. And the day of learning, Gabi and Shana Cohn in memory of Shana's father, Avi Strimber, Avram and Kalman Eliezer Halevi Zal. And we have Daf Yomi, Michael and Rachel Turniansky in memory of Michael's brother, Alan, Avram Yitzhak Ben Shimon Yaakov Zal. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay. So we are picking up on Daf. Today's Daf is Daf Nun Gimel. And we're picking up five lines from the bottom. So, the Mishnah had said, "Ein mevarchim lo aner v'lo besamim shel akum," that we don't make a bracha on a candle or besamim of a guy. "V'lo aner v'lo besamim shel mesim," of dead people. We'll talk about that a little bit later. "V'lo aner v'lo besamim shel avodah zarah," or not that of avodah zarah. So says the Gemara, "Bishlam aner mishum d'lo shavas." The reason we don't use the candle of a guy is presumably because that candle, the flame, did not rest over Shabbos. We'll see exactly what that means, but presumably it means that no malacha was done with it. El besamim my time alo. So a ner, we understand why you can't use it, because it was not a ner that rested, but why can't you use the besamim of a guy? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav. Hachob and Mesibas of the Kochav Maskinon. We're talking about where the besamim came from a meal that is of Gayim, and Mipnei Shastam Mesibas of the Kachavim of Avodah Zarah Hi. And it teaches us that the a plain meal of Gayim, you can assume, is a Suda for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asks, Hamid Ketani Seifa, but as we said, the third clause in the Mishnah that we just quoted said, Eim Avarchin Lo Aner V'Lo B'Sam Shal Avodah Zarah. It said that you don't make a bracha on the ner, the candle, or the besamim of Avodah Zarah. Mechlal, the resha lava of the zara skinan. So that implies that the issue in the first clause, when it says you don't take the ner or besam of a guy, is not talking about a avodah zara. Because if so, why does it need to repeat it as the third clause in that Mishnah? So it says the Gemara, Chanina Misura says as follows, Ma tam kamar. The structure of the Mishnah is it's telling you, you don't take the ner or besamim of a guy. What's the reason? Ma tam eim avarchim lo aner v'lo besam shalakum. Why don't you make a bracha on the ner besamim of a guy? Mipnei shestam mesibas of the kachav avodah zarah. That because a plain gathering of the kachav you could assume is for avodah zarah. So therefore, the first clause is stating the rule that you don't take a ner besamim of a guy, and the third clause is explaining because a ordinary gathering of goyim would be avodah zarah, and therefore you cannot use either the light or the besamim that comes from there. Tanu Rabbanan. So bottom line, Ar Sheshavas Mevarchin Halav, that a light that rested, you can do the bracha on it for Havdalah, you can use that candle for Havdalah. The Shalosh Shavas, if it didn't rest, Ein Mevarchin Halav, you can't make a bracha on it. Now Rashi seems to say, Rashi has a chiddush here that he says, Shalosh Shavas, that it had no Malacha Vavera done, and it says that no guy did a malacha using its light. That's not a universally understood thing, and it becomes complicated with understanding the Gemara, but we'll go with Rashi, saying that you did no avera with that light, meaning you didn't light it, and you didn't use it for anything, for any malacha that's asur. So ask the Gemara, umay lo shavas, what does it mean that you can't use a candle that didn't rest? Inemo lo shavas machmas malacha, or at the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, if you're saying that the light didn't rest from being used for any malacha, any kind of usage of light over Shabbos, afilu mi malacha dehetera, even any malacha that would be permitted, so it can't mean that it can't mean that if the candle was used for any purpose, that it can't be used matzi Shabbos, because v'hatanya, we learned in a brisa, ar shochaya v'shochola, mevarchin alav, that if you had a woman who was giving birth, and the midwife needed light, you can light a candle. And if you have a chola who's mesukan, who's endangered, you can light a candle. And the Brisa tells us you can use that for Havdalah, because that was not done be'isser. So you see that it can't be that it means a candle that wasn't used at all over Shabbos, even for a mutter purpose. So Amrav Nachman Yezog, my Shabbos, she Shabbos machmes malachas avera. that you did nothing wrong, or that it wasn't lit in violation, that's what it means, a ner sheshavas. So therefore, if you would have a light, if let's say a Jew were to light a light before Shalosh Shudis, then you wouldn't be able to use that on Matzei Shabbos for Avdala because an Avero was done with it. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned also as follows, Ashashis, Shehaisa Delekes, Oileches Kolayom, that if you have Ashashis, Rashi says Lanterna, so it's a lantern or a light that was burning the whole day, Kolayom Kulo, Lemoitzer Shabbos, Mavarchin Olav, that you can make a brach on it. So this, in simple understanding, means if you have a light that was lit before Shabbos, that you can use it, even if it's a light of a guy, you could use it afterwards. It seems Rashi says that it would have to be in the Beis Yisrael. It would have to be in a Jew's home. Presumably that's addressing Rashi's opinion before that you have to be careful that no malacha was done, by its light. Okay, says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, we're six lines down on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Nachri shehidlik mi Yisrael, v'Yisrael shehidlik mi Nachri, mevarchin alav. So if you have a non-Jew who lit a candle from a Jew after Shabbos, you could use that non-Jew's candle to make your borei mora eish when you're doing Avdolah. Yisrael shehidlik mi nachri, and if you have a Jew who lit a candle after Shabbos from a non-Jew, that you can use that as well. Mavarchin alav, you can make the bracha of borei mora eish. However, nachri mi nachri, but if you have a non-Jew who lit a light from another non-Jew even after Shabbos, so ein mavarchin alav, you don't make a bracha on it. You don't make a bracha on it, presumably because it's not a ner sheshavas, it's not a ner that rested because the first guy had lit it, presumably over Shabbos. So ask the Gemara, Maishna nachri minachri delo, what's the reason that when one guy lights it from another guy, you wouldn't use it? Presumably, mishum delo shavas, because it didn't rest. So says the Gemara, ihachi, but if so, if that's true, then Yisrael minachri nami halo shavas. So he says, but then why did we say that a Yisrael, a Jew, who lights his candle from the candle of a non-Jew, which was presumably burning during Shabbos, and so if the problem is that if it starts on Shabbos, even in the hands of a non-Jew, you can't use it from another non-Jew, so then why is it any different if a Jew takes it from the non-Jew later after Shabbos? The fact is, it started on Shabbos and should be a problem. Says the Gemara, v'chitema hachi sura azolei v'ha'achrinahu. So the Gemara wants to address possibly, maybe the nature of a candle is that as the flame burns, the old flame is gone, and anything that comes now is a new flame. It's not the same flame that was there 1 second ago or 1 minute ago. So therefore, if a Jew were to light a candle from a Nachri, from a non-Jew after Shabbos, the fact that it was lit on Shabbos shouldn't matter because the fire that you're dealing with is brand new. So, v'yadu the Yisrael kamis yaldam, where we would be dealing with a light that since each second it renews itself, it would be something that was born, so to speak, in the hands of a Jew, and we should be able to use it. So the Gemara says, El Hadisanya, but that doesn't make sense. The idea that a candle every second is renewed and it's a different candle or different flame, because we learned in a braisa as follows, Hamoti shal heves l'rishis harabim chayav, that if someone brings out a flame into rishis harabim, that they're chayav for taking it out. Now, what does it mean to bring a flame? Rashi references the Gemara in Be'er, describes that you take a little piece or shard of pottery that's not large enough that you would be chayav for taking it out into from Rosh Hashiachas or Rosh Hasharabim, and he smeared some oil on it and lit it. So basically, you're not chayav for carrying out that little shard of clay or whatever it is, but what you are carrying out is you're carrying out the flame that's on it. And the Braisa says that if someone were to carry out a flame from Rosh Hashiachas to Rosh Hasharabim, he'd be chayav. Now, what's the problem with that? Am I chayav? Why should he be chayav? Says the Gemara, presumably because he carried from Rosh Hashiachas to Rosh Hasharabim. But the question is that we know, or actually we'll see in less than 2 weeks, and Meretz Hashem will learn the beginning of Maseches Shabbos, and it discusses the fact that in order to be chayav for taking something out from Rosh Hashiachas to Rosh Hasharabim, you need to have an akira and a hanacha. You need to uproot it, and you need to put it down, you need to take it out and uproot it in Rosh Hashayachid and put it down in Rosh Hasharabim or vice versa. So now ask the Gemara, Masha Akar lo haniach, Masha haniach lo akar. If you're telling me that a flame, every moment it renews itself, and it's not the same flame that you had a moment ago, so then at the time he picks up the flame in the Rosh Hashayachid, it's one flame, and when he puts it down in Rosh Hasharabim, it's a different flame, and therefore he should not be chayav for taking out on Shabbos, because what he lifted, he didn't put down, and what he put down, he didn't lift. It's two different things. So therefore, you cannot tell me that a flame assumes an entirely new character every moment. So Ella, so that answer is not a good answer. But so the Gemara says, Ella lolom di sura nami isa. So rather what we're going to say is as follows. You're right. There is some element of a flame that carries over. And that's why he could be chayev if he takes the flame out from Rishus HaYachat or Rishus HaRabim. But v'ki kamavarach atosefta dehetera kamavarach. But there's also a new element of the flame. There's a little bit of the old flame and there's new flame. So we're going to say that when he's making a bracha, when the Jew lights the candle from the fire of the guy, it's true that there's some remnant of the guy's candle, but there's also new flame here, and that's what he's making the bracha on. So the Gemara says, Yehachir nachir minachir nami. So he says, okay, but then the same should be true, that when you're lighting from a flame that one nachri lit from another nachri, you should say that part of it is brand new, came after Shabbos when the second nachri lit it, and that's what you should be making the bracha on, the new flame. So the Gemara says, "Ein achinami." That's true, but gzer mishum nachri rishon va'amad rishon. It says in that particular case, Chazal were mishakin that they didn't want you to take a light from a guy who took it from a different guy, because if you do that, it might come to occur that you're going to use the light of the first guy. You're not going to wait for it to be transferred from one guy to another. So they made a gzer and said you shouldn't do that. Rashi explains that we're talking about right the moments right after Shabbos. If a guy were to light a brand new fire, you would be able to take a fire even from that guy. Third line down in the wide lines. Tanu Rabbanan, hey, mechala chutz krach v'ra'ar. So we're dealing with a guy who's walking outside the town, and it's Motzai Shabbos. He needs to make Avdalah. He sees light. So the question is as follows. We want to make sure it's a Ner Shabbos. It's a light that wasn't used for Malacha on Shabbos. So we say, how do you know whether you could use it or not? So we say, if the town is majority non-Jewish, Eino Mavarach, you don't make a bracha, because presumably Malacha might have been done with that light during Shabbos. Imrov Yisrael, Mavarach. That if the majority of that town is Jewish, so you're going to say, okay, the light they have Matzai Shabbos must be a ner Shabbos, is a ner that rested, and therefore no malacha was done with it, and therefore you could use it. So now the Gemara gets into a technicality here. The Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha, you have an inherent conflict here. Amrit, you said, Imrov Nachar Menem Avarech, that if the majority of the town are non-Jews, you can make you don't make a blessing on that light. So the implication of that is, HaMechza HaMechza Mavarech. If it would be 50-50, then you would say that you do in fact make a bracha. So Vahadar Tani, but then you learn further in the Brayso, Rov Yisrael Mavarech, that if the majority of the town is Jewish, then you do make a bracha. So the implication of that is, HaMechza HaMechza Eina Mavarech. But if it would be 50-50, you would not be able to do it. So the Gemara answers, Bedinhu Dafilu Mechza HaMechza Nami Mavarech. Really, that if it's majority Jews or even half-half, you would make a bracha. Va'aydi Tani Reisha, Rov Nachrim Tana Sefer Rov Yisrael. Since the structure of the ratio was to say, if you have a town that's majority non-Jews, but if it would be half-half or majority Jews, you would light it, so it carried over that structure to say Rov Yisrael, but really only the first clause is the most important. And so why, in other words, if we have two conflicting interpretations that are possible, the reason we go Lakula here, some say it's because it's all Xer Drabanan, or others say because since you could have if it's Mechza Mechza, it's a 50% Jewish, so that is permissible, and there also might be some percentage of the non-Jewish light that had no malacha done with it, perhaps it was there all of Shabbos, so therefore you would say the majority of lights in this town that's 50-50 Jewish and non-Jewish would be lights that are mutter to use on Motzai Shabbos. Tanur Rabbanan, Hayamahalech Chutz Lekrach, V'roa Tinuk V'avuka B'yado, that let's say you're walking outside of a town, it's Motzai Shabbos, you need to make Havdalah, and you see a little kid walking around with a torch. So Bodek Achrav, you need to check. In Yisrael Hu Mevarech, if he's a Jew, you make a bracha, because you assume that he took the light from his home or somewhere where the light had no malacha done with it on Shabbos. In Nachrihu, but if he's a non-Jewish child, Eino Mevarech, you wouldn't do it. So now, by the way, the Mefarshim discussed there, you see something like, even though we have Rove and all these things to rely on, that if you have no idea of something, you can rely on Rove, but at the end of the day, if it's capable of being investigated, you have to investigate. So that's why you need to see, what did this kid do? So the Gemara asks, "My Yuri Tinnik, Afilu Gadol Nami." He says, wait a second, what difference does it make? We're dealing with a little kid. At the end of the day, if you see someone walking with a torch and you can investigate, ask that person, you know, what, who are you, or where did this candle come from? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rav. Hacha b'samach l'shkiyas hacham askinan. We're talking about right after Shkia, you see someone walking around with a flame. That if he's an adult, then you're going to say for sure he's a Nachri. Rashi says for whatever reason, I don't know exactly why, that a Jew would not be walking around right after Shkia with a flame. But if it's a Tinnik, Emer Yisrael hu Akri v'Nakat, that it was a little kid, he happened to pick up the flame and go out, and so if you see him, then you would investigate. If it's a Jewish kid, presumably it came from a permissible source, and if it's a non-Jewish kid, presumably it came from an impermissible source. Tanur Rabbanan, Hayim Ahalach Chutzah Krach. Okay, now we're shifting gears now. We were talking about Ner Sheshavas, a flame that it should have rested. We're now going to talk about a different question, which is, can you use a light that you just randomly see for Havdalah? And the relevant issue here is, if that light was lit to illuminate, to light up an area, then you could say Bore Ma'orei Ha'esh. But if that light was lit, if the fire was lit for some other purpose, not for illumination, then you can't make a bracha on it, because we're making a bracha Bore Ma'orei Ha'esh, which is only for light that was done for illumination. So Tanur Rabbanan, Hayim Ahalach Chutzah Krach, you're walking outside the town, V'ra'ar, and you see light. So im ava kefiya kivshon mevarech alav. It says if it's thick like the mouth of the oven, you make a bracha on it. What is this talking about? So Rashi explains that they used to burn stones in oven in order to make sid. Sid is lime. So it would be a pretty bright light. So it doesn't mean literally that you see the light of an oven. It means if it's bright like that brightness that you would see when you're burning stones for lime, that presumably is done, the reason of such a bright light, such a large fire, is because it was made for illumination. But if it's dimmer than that, you don't, because it could be it's made for cooking or something like that, which does not require as large or as bright of a light. In Mavarach Alav. So ask the Gemara. Tani Chada, we learned one brisa that said, Arsha Kivsha Mavarach in Alav, that if you see the light of a oven, of a fire, a kiln, that you can make a bracha on it. V'tani idach, we learned another brayse, ein mevarach on alav, that you don't make a bracha on it. So the Gemara says, lo kasha habitchila habasof. This is in the beginning, this is in the end. So the Rishonim go all over the place about what this means. We'll just go with Rashi. Rashi says that in the beginning, when they would burn the stones, they would initially burn it, and it was not created for illumination. It was there just to burn the stones. At the latter part, later in the burning process, Rashi explains that they would add some fuel and to kind of clean up the last bit of burning the stones, and then they had in mind also illumination, and so then you'd be able to use that flame because it is a combination of burning the stones and also illumination, which is, that combination scenario is also a topic of much discussion in the post-gim, but that's the answer of the steer and the brises. Tani Chada, similarly, we learned one brise that said, Ar shal tanner v'shal kirayim, if you have a tanner or kirayim, two different types of ovens, mevarchin olav, you do make a bracha for borim arayesh, for tani idach, we learned another brise, ein mevarchin olav, that you would not use the light of an oven. So it says the Gemara, this is in the beginning, this is in the end. So Rashi explains that in the beginning you would light, the purpose of lighting in an oven is obviously to cook the food. But later, what would happen is once the food is cooked, they would put some kindling at the front or at the top of the oven for the purpose of kind of holding in the heat. So you don't need a heavy heat at that point, you just have some kindling. But when they would light the kindling, it was also there for illumination, so then it's okay. Says the Gemara, Tani Chada, we learned one brisa that said, Ar shal beis haKnesset shal beis haMedrash mevarchin alav, that if you're walking by a shul or a beis medrash and you see the light, you can make a bracha on it for Bari Mari Eish, because presumably it is for illumination. V'tani Idach, we learned another one, Ein mevarchin alav, that you don't make a bracha on it, so you have a stira in these brises. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, it's not a problem, Hadik Adam Chashav, Hadalek Adam Chashav. The way Rashi understands this is that in one case, there's an Adam Chashav, there's an important person in the Shuler based Medrash, and the way Rashi understands it is, therefore, the light is not for illumination, it's there to be mechabit, to show honor to this Talmud Chacham, so then you cannot make a bracha on it. But if there's no Adam Chashav there, then obviously there it's there to light up the Shuler based Medrash, and you would make a bracha on it. Tosa says it's exactly the opposite. He brings from Rabbeinu Chananel, he says that if you have an Adam Chashav there, then they put on lots of light for illumination, because they want to give him light so that he can learn or whatever it is that he does. But if there's no Adam Chashav there, then it might not be there for illumination. Or else you could say Hava Hadik Adam Chashav. Maybe they're both brises are talking about where you have an important person who's there in the shul. It's still not a kasha. One has a chazan, one doesn't have a chazan. A chazan doesn't mean someone who davens, it means like a shamish, so to speak. So it's saying as follows, that if you have the adam chashuv, and the chazan is someone who serves him, and the chazan is going to a side room that gets its illumination from the shul, and he's going to eat, so then that light is there not just for to show honor to the Adam Chasha, but also to light up the meal for his Shamish. So then it is illuminative purposes so that he could eat. And then that you would make a bracha on it. But if not, then you would not because the light is just there to be mechabed the Adam Chasha. By the same alternatively, you could say Hava Hadika Chazana. You could even say where it's a case where they're both dealing where there's Adam Chasha and there's a Chazan who's eating there. In one case, the moon is light, and therefore the chazan doesn't need the light of the Beis Medrash to eat. It's enough that if he has the moon. So obviously, it's not there for illumination, and it's just there to be mechabed adam gadol, and so therefore, the adam chashav, and therefore you would not make a brach on it. But if the moon is not so bright, and therefore the chazan needs the light, so then it's there to be mechabed adam chasha, but it's also there so that the chazan could eat his food. So then, therefore, it's for illuminative purposes, and you would be able to make a bracha. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, Hayoshvim beBeis HaMedrash Reviu Arlef Neim. You are sitting in the Beis Medrash, and they bring light in front of you. BeShamayamrum Kol Echav Echav Mavarech LaAtzmo. That so what's Matzah Shabbos? So he says, okay, you bring in the light. Whenever people finish their learning and the light is there, they should make the bracha. Barimareish. UBeis Hillel Reviu says Echav Mavarech LaKulam. That lekulan that one person should get up and make the bracha and everyone should answer amen. Mishum shenema barov am hadras melech that the greater assembly it's a greater honor to the Rabbanu Shalom. So therefore, if you interrupt and you make the bracha, one person makes it, everyone says amen. You're doing something. But tzibur, there are many applications of this where Beis Hillel has that opinion barov am hadras melech. So says the Gemara bishlam Beis Hillel mefarshi taima. So Beis Hillel explained its reason because barov am hadras melech ela Beis Shammai my taima. Why did Beis Shammai say that one person shouldn't make the bracha? What about Barov Am Hadras Melech? So said the Gemara, Kasabri Misham Bito Beis HaMedrash. The idea was that if people would stop to say Amen, you'd be interrupting their learning, and that's inappropriate. So the Klausenberger Rebbe, others, they talk about the fact that you see that even interrupting your learning for 1 second to say Amen is considered a real interruption. But it's interesting, the Prisha brings that nowadays when our concentration level is pretty shot anyway, which we've encountered in other contexts. We talked about the fact that like Chassan by Kriya Shema, we don't have concentration anymore. We don't repeat Shema if you don't have Kavanah because nowadays our Kavanah is weak. So the preacher says nowadays you would say Amen because our concentration isn't that great to begin with. The Shach and Taz argue about this issue as to which way you would address it. But I think the Shach Paskins Lahalacha, like the Drisha, that we don't have that level of concentration nowadays that we would withhold from saying Amen to a bracha. Tainami Hachi, that we learned a similar brisa. They wouldn't even say marpe. What does marpe mean? Marpe means like healthy or health, something like that. So the Gilyan Hashas brings from the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that what was talking about, many people have heard this before, that it used to be when someone would, in the olden days, before Yaakov Avinu, someone would be walking down the street, they'd sneeze and they'd drop dead. That's how their lives ended. Yaakov Avinu made a bakasha to the Rabbanu Shalom. He said, I want to have a chance to give brachas to my children and things so that they were misakin, that people get, the Rabbanu Shalom agreed to him and said that people will get sick now in the ordinary course and they'll have a chance to deal with their affairs and only afterwards they would die. So it used to be sneezing was associated with people dropping dead. So that's why they would say marpe, which is health, or Rashi quotes asuso, which is what the Shulchan Aruch brings, or people say labriyut, gesundheit, all these things mean the same thing, which is to your health. The idea is so that people used to die when they sneezed, and now they wouldn't die. So you make this bracha, and in fact, it's brought la'alacha. If someone sneezes, you say asusa or something like that, and he should say baruch tia, and he says yeshuascha kivisi Hashem that I hope for your Yeshua because people didn't used to live through sneezing. Continues the Gemara, emavarchin lo aner v'lo abesamim shall mesim. It says that you can't make a bracha on the ner abesamim of a dead person. My time, ner l'kavod hu davidi. So we say that because a light, you didn't light it for lighting up the area, you did it to show kavod to the mace. So therefore, as we said before, if the candle isn't there for illuminative purposes, you don't make a bracha on it. Besamim lavure recho hu davidi. And similarly, when you have good smelling things near a dead body. It's to cover over, to mask any bad smells, but it's not there for enjoyment of smell, and therefore you would not make a bracha. Amar Yehuda Rav. Yehuda says the name of Rav. Kosher matzian lefana b'yom uvelayla im avarchin alav. Kosher ein matzian lefana v'ela b'layla im avarchin alav. So he says as follows. If you have a person that is such a adam chashuv, that even if it was broad daylight, you would light candles when you're taking him out to the cemetery. So then on Matzah Shabbos, you wouldn't use that because you're saying it's not really there for illuminative purposes because you would light the same candles even if it was daylight. But if the person was not an Adam Chashev and during the daytime you would not do candles for him, then obviously the only reason you're doing candles now is not for Kavod, but rather because you need to see where you're going. So then it becomes a case of illuminative purposes and you would be able to make a bracha on it. Amrev Huna, B'samim Shabbos HaKisei, B'shem and Ha'asri L'Havir, Sazuama Im Avarchin Alav. That if Rashi explains that someone used to bring into the Beis HaKisei, into the restroom, he would bring with him spices because he didn't want to smell the smells of the restroom, or else, we talked about this before, that people used to have oil that they would bring out at the end of the meal to cover over whatever bad smell or things might be on their fingers from the meal. So then, in both those cases, the purpose here isn't for the smell per se, it's for some other purpose, so you would not make the bracha. So now the Gemara, Lameimer, the Kolhecha, the Lav, Lerecha, Avidi, Lama, Varchina, Lave. Is it true that if any place that you, that something isn't there primarily for smelling purposes, you wouldn't make a bracha? Meisvei, I'll ask you from the Braisa as follows. Hanechnas, Achen, Vinishal, Bosem, if someone goes into a spice store, the Hereach, Reach, and he smells a smell, Afilu, Yashiv, Sham, Kolayom, Kula, Inim, Varcha, Lapam, Echod. He only has to make a bracha. He walks in the store, he sits there for 5 hours, he's smelling the whole time, he only makes one bracha at the beginning. That if he goes in and out, then every time he comes in, it's a new smelling, and he would have to make a bracha. Question, what happens if he had intention to come back? But in any event, what do you see? So he says, So he says, but yet we see that, even though this person is sitting in the spice store, he didn't want, or it's just because he's there that he's smelling it. He didn't want to go smell it. The issue is it wasn't designed for his smelling, because it just happens to be where the guy is selling his spices, and yet he makes a bracha. So we say, in Lerecha Nami Havudavidi Kihecha, the Nerchu Inshi, Venesu Venizbin Minai. He says, no, this is in fact a case where the Besamim are there for, it's not ancillary. The storekeeper intends that people should smell his Besamim, and therefore it's there for smell. Why? Because how do you sell Besamim if you're a Besamim maker? You don't put everything in bottles that you can't smell. You make the store smell delicious. People come in, they want to buy besamim. So obviously the storekeeper wanted people to benefit from the smell of his besamim. Once he wanted that benefit, it's their lerecha, so therefore you're going to make a bracha. Tanu Rabbanan, hayim ahal chutz l'krach. Someone is walking outside the town, the hariach reach, and he smells a smell, imrov of the kachavim ein varech. That if the town is a majority non-Jews, you're not going to make a bracha, because we said before, you assume that any gathering, presumably this is coming from a gathering, and it must be for Avodah Zarah, so you would not make a bracha. Rav Yisrael, but if it's majority Jewish town, Mavarech, you would make a bracha. Rav Yossi says, Afil Rav Yisrael, Nami Eim Mavarech, even if it's majority Jews, you wouldn't make a bracha. Mipnesha Benos Yisrael, Mekatris L'Kshafim, because the Jewish women light besamim for witchcraft. Now, I don't know that it means that they're practicing witchcraft, or just the idea that besamim somehow send away like the evil, demons or whatever, something like that. So there's some idea that the point being is that Jewish women sometimes light candles not for the purposes, or light besamim not for the purposes of smelling. So therefore you have a combination of the non-Jews plus the people who are lighting it for kishafim. Now ask the Gemara, Atu kulo l'kshafim mekatrin, says, wait a second, you're telling me all Jews when they light their things it's for witchcraft or to send away the spirits? So we say, no, havelei miyute l'kshafim, that there's a minority who's there for sending away the spirits, umiyute namin l'gamra sakelim, and also there's a minority who is using it to put a scent into their clothing. Ishtachach ruba deleka lerecha avid. He says, so therefore, if you combine the non-Jews who you're not able to make a bracha on their besamim because it's for Avodah Zarah, the women who are lighting it to send away the spirits, which is not for smell, and the people who are using it to scent their clothing, you end up with a majority that's not there for smell, and therefore, even according to Rabbi Yossi, even in a town of majority of Jews, you would not make a bracha if you just randomly smell a smell. You'd have to go investigate where is it coming from and see whether it's a permissible thing to make a bracha on. Amar b'chir bar Abba, Amar b'Yochanan, Hamahalch b'arvei Shabbosos b'tveriyah b'metzoy Shabbos b'metzoy Shabbosos b'tzipori v'hereach reach inu mevarech m'pnei shechezkosei inu asoy el gamar boyas hakelim. So he says as follows, that if someone's walking Erev Shabbos in Tveriyah or Motzei Shabbos in Tzipori and he smells a smell, he should not make a bracha, because the chazaka is that the only thing they were doing then was scenting their clothing, which is not there for regular smell, and therefore you wouldn't make a bracha. The Mefarshim explained that actually this was both done l'kavod Shabbos. That in Tveriyah they used to scent their clothing before Shabbos l'kavod Shabbos. In Tzipori on Matzei Shabbos, much like we smell besamim to console ourselves on the loss of neshama yisera, of the extra neshama, so too that's what they used to do there. So, but in any event, on Friday in Tveriyah or Matzei Shabbos in Tzipori, it was there for scenting the clothing, not for just general smelling benefit, and therefore you would not make a bracha in those areas. If someone's walking in the marketplace of the non-Jews, nisrat lahariach, you can't prevent yourself from smelling, but if you want to smell it and you sniff in and say, "Oh, it smells delicious," says the Gemara, "Harei zechote," you did an aveira because it is the smell of avodah zarah. Okay, we're gonna have to move quickly. All right, you don't make a bracha on a light until you actually can benefit from it. That's what it said in our Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Rav, lo yusu yusu mamish elakosha ilu amid bekarv mishtamish l'orav afilu v'richo k'makom. So he says as follows: it doesn't mean literally you have to benefit from the light. It means that if the light is such that people standing close to it could benefit from it, then you should be able to make the bracha even far away. So the idea being that if someone has a candle all the way down over there and you can't benefit from its light, but the people who are next to it can, you should still be able to do borei moreish on that candle. That you could be far away. Now the Gemara is going to later bring a Rava who argues on this and says you have to be closer. But in the meantime, the Gemara is going to ask a question. We have a brisa. That if you have a candle that's hidden in your lap or in a lantern, how you define that panas is very relevant to the question of whether you can use electric lights for Shabbos. We don't have time for this issue, but Rashi understands it to be panas is behind glass. So if you're seeing it through glass, that's actually a problem with seeing a shalheves. So that's a problem with electric lights, but there's others who hold differently, who explain the case differently. So you have this hidden light, meaning you're not seeing the flame. Or you see the flame, but you're not getting any hana from its light. We'll see what does that case mean in a second. Or you're getting benefit from the light, but you're not seeing the actual flame. In all those cases, you don't make a bracha until you actually see the flame and you get hana from its R. So says the Gemara, Bishlam mishtamish la'ora v'la'ra shalheves. So it says, I understand the case where it says you're benefiting from the light, but you're not seeing the flame, you can't make a bracha. That's Mishkachas of the Kaimim Karen Zavis. He's standing around the corner from a light. So you have a light here, he's around the corner, so he's getting the benefit of its illumination, but he can't actually see the flame. So you can't use that case. But El Rosh, El Hevitz, El Nishtamish, El Rehech, Mishkachas La. How do you have such a thing where you could see the flame, but you're not getting any benefit from its light? If you see the flame, you're getting benefit from its light. So it says the Gemara, isn't that a case where the only case where you can have that is where the flame is far away? So you see the flame, but it's not close enough that you can actually benefit from it, which shows you that in that case you cannot make a bracha. So how could they say that it doesn't mean that you literally have to benefit and that you could be far away and do Abdullah? At the end of the day, if it's far away, that's this case of where you see the flame, but you don't use its light. So Gemara says, "Lo kigon da amya va'azlo." What does it mean that you see the flame and you don't benefit from the light? It's talking about where the flame is diminishing itself. It's burning out and it's not enough light to actually illuminate anything. That's the case where you see the flame and don't get hana from its R. But if there would be a strong flame that's over there far away and other people close to it could benefit, and you're far away, you could still make the bracha on that. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned as follows. Gecholim lo chashos, that if you have coals that are whispering, means they've died down from active flames, but they're still burning. Mevarchin alav, that you make a bracha on them. Omamos, but if it's already diminished, ein mevarchin alein, you would not make a bracha on them. So now how do you know? Hechi dami lo cheshos. What does it mean that it's whispering, meaning you could still make a bracha? And Rav Chista, kol she'ilu machnes atochen kesum, v'daylekes me'elel. That if you would stick in a splinter or a toothpick or something like that, and it would light up, that means there's enough light or enough fire in those coals that you would be able to make a bracha on it. Less than that, you would not. Iboy luhu. Omamos o omamos. Ask the Gemara, is it omamos with an aleph or omamos with an ayin when you say that they've already diminished or died down? Tashma, come in here. Dam Rav Chista bar Avdimi, Rav Chista bar Avdimi, darshan the pasuk in Yechezkel. It said, arazim lo yamamahu began elokim, that the cedars haven't diminished it in the garden of Hashem. So you see, amamuhu is diminished and with an ayin. So therefore, that's the answer. It would be omamos spelled with an ayin. But Rava Omer, now coming back to what I said before, Rava argues and says, wait a second, if you want to make a bracha, a havdalah on a light, you have to be able to, yu'uso mamish. When the Mishnah says you have to benefit from it, it means literally you have to be close to it. So that would mean that if people are holding up a candle far away and you would not be able to get benefit from it, that you would not be able to make havdalah on it. You have to be closer in a way where you could benefit from its light. But kama, how much do you need to be able to benefit in order to do it? Amarula kadesh yakar ben isa lepundion, between two different coins that were close in size. If you were able to tell the difference between them from that light, that's enough benefit that you should be able to make the bracha of bari mareish. Chizki amar chizki says kadesh yakar ben meluzma shel tverio lemeluzma shel tipori. Rashi says it's a mishkal, it's a weight that in tverio and tipori they had two. Same name, but slightly different weight, so that there should be enough light that you should be able to tell the difference between them. This, by the way, is why, Havdalah, we look at our fingernails, is because that's the basic idea, to be able to tell the difference between the side of your fingers and your nails. The Mishnah Berurah says also you should look at your palm when you do that. That's why people do it like this. But it's doing that. It's making sure that the light is close enough that you should be able to be benefit. Now, mind you, you don't have to actually benefit. You just have to be close enough that you could benefit, which is why if the lights are on and you're doing this, you're not getting any light from the candle, but it's enough because you're close enough that if it would be dark, you would be able to tell the difference on your fingers, and that's sufficient. Rabbi Yehuda Mevarech, Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rashi understands it, Rabbi Yehuda would his house was distant from Adedalia, and he would nonetheless make a bracha on Adedalia's light coming out of his house, because Rava was of the opinion you could be far away. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion. Rava Mevarech Adabei Gurya Bar Chama, the way Rashi understands, Rava would only make a bracha on Gurya Bar Chama's house, because that was pretty close to him, and he could benefit from the light. Abaye Mevarech Adabei Bar Avua, and Rashi doesn't explain exactly which opinion that's going with. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Rabbi Yehuda says, he says, normally, if you have a mitzvah, you have to do something. You have to go find an opportunity to do that mitzvah. That's not true of the light on Matzei Shabbos. So the Mepharshim explained this. It would be like the same, like you make a bracha, osa maaseh bereishis, a kochuk brasa mole olam. You don't have to go searching around to find a thunderstorm, so you could say kochuk brasa osa maaseh bereishis, or anything like that. So similarly with light, if you happen to encounter light, you make the bracha matzei Shabbos, but you don't need to go find it. Amar Zera, Zera says, Rosh Havi Mahadron, I used to go look for light if I didn't have it on matzei Shabbos. Kima the Shemana lahadur of Yehuda Merav. Once I heard statement of Yehuda Merav, Ana Nami La Mahadrina, I also wouldn't go search out the light, Ela Imikla Li Memela Mevarchina. That if I came across light, or when I came across light, I would make the bracha, but I didn't have to go search for it. Similar halacha would be by Besamim. Okay, Misha Achol, Amrev Zvid, Vitem Rev Dimi Bar Abba, Machlokas Beshachach, Abba Mezid Dibri Akol Yachsel Mekomo. So this was going on the Machlokas Beshamim Beis Hillel. Beshamai said, if you forgot to bench, you have to go back to where you ate. Beis Hillel said, no, you don't. So now we're saying, that's only a machlokas where someone forgot to go back. But if he purposely said to himself, you know what, I'm leaving here, I'm in a rush, I'm going to bench somewhere else, in that case, everyone agrees, including Beis Hillel, they have to go back to the place and make the bracha. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, V'shachach Tanan. It said if you forgot. So obviously it means that only if you forgot, but if you do it on purpose, you have to go back. So the Gemara says, Ma'adetemo hu adena filip mezid. I might have thought, if someone didn't explain that it's only where you forgot, I might have thought that the halacha really is, according to Beis Hillel, even if you purposely switched location. V'hayta ketanah v'shachach, this that the mission learned specifically that you forgot, La'odiach ha'kochen to Beis Shammai, was coming just to tell you that Beis Shammai, not only if he did it on purpose, but even if by accident he left, he still has to go back. Kamash Mulan therefore tells us, no, Shachach is exact, and it's coming to tell you, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree, if someone purposely leaves where he is, he has to go back and bench again, and when Beis Hillel says he doesn't have to go back, it's only if he made a mistake. Tanya, so we learned in a brisa. Amr lam Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, wait a second. Le devreichem, according to you, mishachah barosh habira, if someone ate at the top of a tower or a large house or something, v'shachach v'yared, and he forgot and he went down and he v'lo birch, he hadn't made a bracha, yachsel l'rosh habira v'yavarech, you're going to make him go back to the top of the house. We're not going to be matriachim so much. So Amr lam Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai said back to Beis Hillel, le devreichem, according to you, mishachach arniki barosh habira lo yalavi idlano. He said, wait a second. If the guy forgot his wallet up at the top of the house, he's going to go right back up and get it. So l'kvod atmahu ol l'kvod shemayim l'kol shekain. So therefore, if he's going to go up for his own purposes to get his wallet, surely he should go up to show cover to the Rebbeinu Shalom and to bench where he is. So that was Beis Shammai's answer. Hanu trei tamidi. There were two tamidim. Chan avi b'shogi ki Beis Shammai. One happened this. He forgot to bench. He went back like Beis Shammai to be yotzei Beis Shammai's opinion. And Mefarshim discussed how could he do that. We learned by Kriya Shema that you shouldn't do the opinion of Beis Shammai. But in any event, v'ashkach arnika de dava, and he found a wallet full of gold, which was his reward for going back. V'chad avi b'mezid ki Beis Hillel. One did b'mezid ki Beis Hillel. It doesn't mean literally like Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel agreed you can't go b'mezid, but it means he benched in his new place. V'achla aryeh, he got eaten by a lion. Rabba bar Barachana havin ka'ozo b'shayrisa. Rabba bar Barachana was going in a caravan. Achol, he ate v'ishtali, and he forgot v'loy birach, and he didn't bench. Omar, and they already have moved on. Omar, hey, Chiyavi, what should I do? Yamin Eluhu in Shoy Levarech. If I just tell the people I forgot to make a bracha, what are they going to tell me? Omar, they'll say, Brich. They say, just bench here. Kol Hech de Mevarcha, Lachmana Mevarcheses. Wherever you make a bracha, the Rabban Shalom's everywhere. He can hear you, so you don't have to go back. So they wouldn't wait for him. Mutav Damin Eluhu an Shoy Yonah de Dava. He says, rather, I'll tell them that I forgot a golden dove over there. That they'll respect. Money, they'll understand. Religion, not so much. So Omar Eluhu, Antarli Dan Shoy Yonah de Dava. So he says, wait for me, because I have to go back and get my gold dove. So he went back and he benched, and while he was there, he found, in fact, an actual gold dove. Umayishna Yonah, why did he say Dafka Yonah? The Mesila Knesset Yisrael Yonah, that the Jews are compared to a Yonah, the Siv Kanfe Yonah, the wings of a Yonah, Nechva Bekesef are coated in silver, Vavrosel, and the edges of the wings, Biarakre Choritz have very bright gold. So Klal Yisrael is compared to Yonah. Ma Yonah in Nitzelus Ala B'Chnafel. Just like a Yonah is only saved by its wings, Rashi says either because in danger it flies away, or unlike most other birds, a Yonah uses its wings to fight. So Af Yisrael in Nitzelus Ala B'Mitzvos, that Klal Yisrael is saved with mitzvos. So therefore, Rabbi Bar Rechano, who wanted to go back and do a mitzvah, he came into his mind to say that he lost a golden dove. Ad Ema Sayhu. So ask the Gemara, Kama Shir Ekel. So we said that a person could bench until his food has been digested. What's the shir? I'm Rav Yochanan. Kol's man shein a rav. Rav Yochanan says, as long as he's not hungry, once he gets hungry, that meal is passed, he can no longer bench. Rav Shakash says, Kol's man sheyitzama machmas achiloso. If he's still thirsty from his last meal, because when you eat a meal, you become thirsty, so then he could still bench. The Machlokas Rashi Tosas as to which is a longer shir. Amalei Rav Yemer bar Shalmi Olamar Zutra, Varamalei Rav Yemer bar Shizbi Olamar Zutra, Mi Amar Reish Lakish, Hachi did Reish Lakish say that it's until, so long as you're still thirsty, Vamar Rav Ami Amar Reish Lakish, Kamar Shir Equal, what's the shir of digestion? Kedei Lahalach Abra Milin, that's to walk for meal. So is it that you're still thirsty or it's walking for meal? So it says the Gemara, Lo Kasha Kam Achilu Meruba, Kam Achilu Muetas. That in one case, Achilu Meruba is one halacha, and the other case, in Achilu Muetas, a small eating is another. Again, Machlokas Rishonim, which one gets the Dalad Milan and which one gets the, if he's still thirsty. But in any event, that's not what the Gemara is addressing. The Gemara is really addressing the issue that we said that you could say Amen after a partial bracha of Yisrael, but not after the bracha of a Kusi. You have to hear the whole bracha. Says the Gemara, Lemei Mer Yisrael, Afagav Leishamu Kula Bracha Oneh. Are you telling me that if a Jew, even he hears part of a bracha, he can make an answer? Rashi says we're assuming that we're talking about someone who's going to listen to a bracha at a meal, like benching. So it says you can't bench and only hear half of it. V'chilo Shama Hechinafik. How's it going to be Yotzei if he doesn't hear part of the bracha? We're talking not about someone who needs to hear benching because he ate, but someone who didn't eat, and he's just going to say amen to the bracha. As long as you hear half the bracha, you can make you could say an amen. As versus a kusi, you can't, because you have to be worried that they're making a bracha to their gods. We're talking about a case where they did not eat together. He says, Chatof ubrich, that you should jump ahead and grab a bracha, meaning you should be the one who leads benching. Rav Huna said to Rabbi son chatof ubrich, you should jump and be the one who leads the service. So that implies that they were telling him, you should be the one who leads the service, not just the one who says amen. V'atanya, we learned in the Brisa, Rav Yossi says, Godo ha'ona amen, Yosef min ha'mavarech. The one who says amen is greater than the one who makes the bracha. We don't have time to discuss why. Very interesting things. Amalei Rav Nerai. Rav Nerai said, Hashemayim kein hu. I swear by the heavens that in fact it's so. Teda, I'll give you a proof. Shari Gulyarin Yardin Umetagin, the Muhammad Bigibarim Yardin Umanatskim. He says the way it is the foot soldiers go and they get into war, and then the strong soldiers come and finish off the enemy. So you see the ones who come at the end are better. So the person who says Amen is better than the one who makes the bracha. Tanoihi, so the Gemara says it's not so simple. This one says Amen is better, but there's another version in a Braisa, the same because we went to the Braisa. Echad Mavarch of Echad Ono Amen B'mashma. It's talking about the Pasuk in Nehemiah, and it basically says the Pasuk praises both those who make a bracha and those who say Amen. But the one who makes the actual bracha gets his reward faster than the one who just says Amen. So you see a different Tanaic teaching, which is saying that that the bracha is better than the one who says Amen. The other one said Amen is better than the one who says the bracha. What can you say Amen after the bracha of Tinokosh Beis Rabban? Amalei, Achar Kol on an Amen Chutz Mi Tinokosh Beis Rabban. You can make an Amen after everyone's bracha except for children learning in school. Why? Ho Slamid Asuyin, that they're doing it just to learn the brachas, and therefore you can't say Amen because they're not making an actual bracha. Says the Gemara, Bahani Minli B'Dila Iden Miftarayu. I'll be the Miftarayu on it. The way Rashi understands it, he says that's true. Except when you see a katan who's getting an aliyah or reading naf Torah, because that they're allowed to do for the tzibur, so they're making an actual proper bracha, and to that you could say amen. Torah Rabbanan, shemen makif is a bracha. Divrei Rav Zilai, shemen oil prevents the bracha. What does that mean? Rashi explains that first of all, that if you're in the custom to put oil on your fingers at the end of the meal, you cannot start benching until you do it. So you have to wait for the oil. Convert also that if you did not do the oil yet and they bring more food to you, that's considered part of that same meal. You don't need to make a separate bracha because the oil signifies the end of the meal. That's Reb Zilai. Reb Zivai Amar Ein Ma'akev. Reb Zivai says no, it's not ma'akev, and you would be able to bench without the oil. And if they bring out food afterwards, the fact that you didn't have the oil doesn't mean you don't have to make an extra bracha. Reb Acha Amar Shemen Tov Ma'akev. That if he was in the custom of having good oil, so then it's ma'akev. Reb Zuhamai Amar Kishem Shemizuim Pasal Avod. That just like someone who smells bad is not allowed to do the avoda or is dirty, so too someone whose hands are dirty is not allowed to do bracha, and you would need to wait for the oil. He says, I don't know from this Reb Zilai, Reb Zivai, Reb Zuamai. He says, Elo Masnisa Yadana, I only know a Mishnah. The Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Rav, Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav, Ami Lov Masnisa Tana. Others say they learned in a Braisa, Viskadashtem. The Pasuk says, Viskadashtem, Elo Mayim Rishonim. That's saying that you should wash until you die before meal. Viyisim Kedoshim, you should be holy. Elo Mayim Achronim. That's the Mayim Achronim that come at the end of the meal. Ki Kadosh, Ze Shemen. This goes to Shemen. Ani Hashem Alkechem. Zu bracha, that this is the bracha. So you see that the order goes mayim rishonim, netil sidayim, then mayim achronim, then you do the oil, and only then you make a bracha. So you see the idea that you do the oil before the bracha. Hadron alach eludvarim.